Regina Celi,
today we go with part two of Who Are You? Immaculate Conception. We saw yesterday how Kolbe resolved the question of that question by making that distinction between the two conceptions, the uncreated Immaculate Conception, the Holy Spirit, and the created Immaculate Conception, our Blessed Lady. And there he could resolve that, how is it that Our Lady would identify herself to Bernadette as, I am the Immaculate Conception? Well, it yet being true that she was immaculately conceived. And we plunge into it a little bit more in depth today by looking at what it is he asks us here, why not make it easier than just say that the Holy Spirit is the Immaculate Conception and Mary was immaculately conceived? And this is Father Gately here responds, again, it's all because of Lourdes, blame Saint Bernadette. But anyways, it's Our Lady who identified herself exactly that way. I am the Immaculate Conception. And in fact, Father goes on here and saying we should actually thank both Saint Bernadette and Saint Kolbe. Because we opened up to a whole new truth. All right, by looking at what the union between our Blessed Lady and the Holy Spirit. And it's a very deep internal union. And this will explain how it is you can't even say that the Holy Spirit is the uncreated Immaculate Conception and Our Lady the created Immaculate Conception. Because as we've seen a little bit yesterday, they are both, as it were, conceptions. Our Lady, of course, naturally on the human level, she was humanly conceived, but without sin. Therefore, immaculately conceived. The Holy Spirit is that conception of the love between the Father and the Son in the Blessed Trinity. But now we look at this union between Our Lady and the Holy Spirit. And we must ask ourselves to understand this union. What is the most intense type of union, even in our own lives? Obviously, first of all, it's going to be a union of love, but what is the most intense? What is the most close union? It is that of the matrimonial union, the marriage union. And so it is with Our Lady. Well, he starts here, it is actually, above all, it's an interior union of her essence with that of the Holy, with the essence of the Holy Spirit. Right? It was always true, it will always be true. And he goes on, this is actually quoted from St. Maximilian, right, in that last document that he wrote just 2 hours before his arrest. And he speaks of that fruitful love. Again, here we're talking the spousal union. That is a fruitful one. All right? All right. Here we'll continue with the quote a little bit. Among creatures made in God's image, the union brought about by married love is the most intimate of all. And we have a reference here, and it's an important one, to Matthew chapter 9, verse 6. And that's where our Lord explicitly speaks of that union. But here, in a much more precise, more interior, more essential manner, the Holy Spirit lives in the soul of the Immaculata, in the depths of her very being. And thus he makes her very fruitful from the very first instant of her existence, all during her life, and for all eternity. Of course, by the very fact that she is full of grace. But you see, It's a very intimate union from the moment of her conception. It's practically speaking a spousal union from the moment of her conception. And certainly with the incarnation. Okay, and thus, this eternal immaculate conception, the Holy Spirit produces in an immaculate manner divine life itself in the womb or depths of Mary's soul, within her soul, making her the immaculate conception, the human immaculate conception. And the virginal womb of Mary's body is kept sacred for him. There he conceives in time. And here we speak of the incarnation of our Lord. Because everything that is material occurs in time. Thus also the human life of the man God. So here now he speaks of the appropriateness of taking the name, Immaculate Conception. If human beings, when they take a wife, when a wife takes Mary's, she takes the name of her husband, because she belongs to him. So it is most appropriate then. Oh, here it goes even further. He's one with him. She's one with him, becomes equal to him. And is with him the source of new life, the children. How much greater the reason for a lady to take on the name of the Immaculate Conception, the uncreated Immaculate Conception of the Holy Spirit, to take on the same name. Created, however, Immaculate Conception. And thus capping this whole concept of the spousal union, which is exactly what that union is, between our Blessed Lady and the Holy Spirit. And then Father Michael here makes three points. First, we must ponder it again, much as Our Lady pondered the very mysteries of our Lord's life, expounding before her, as they unfolded before her. Ponder them within our hearts, we should. Okay, deeply and prayerfully. All right, as you do, he says, keep in mind that these are the parting words of one of the greatest Marian saints of all time, referring, of course, to St. Maximilian Kolbe. Answering here the very question to which he, as we already saw, dedicated his whole life. Here now he answers the very question, who are you, Immaculate Conception? Now, secondly, the second point, if it seems that Kolbe has gone a bit overboard with his talk of Mary and in her union with the Holy Spirit, some theologians think so. But know what he says here. Pope Paul VI went out of his way to reassure the faithful that Kolbe's teaching is sound. Remember, it's Pope Paul VI that stated that he went about singing the glories of Mary. And thirdly, if you only get one point from this challenging passage, may it be this. Mary is the spouse of the Holy Spirit. In fact, her union with the Holy Spirit is even deeper than what we understand by a spousal relationship. That we will see tomorrow. The prayer, come Holy Spirit, living in Mary, unveil for me the meaning of the Immaculate Conception.